Hello and welcome to Blockchain a Gaming World, episode 150, special episode, actually a crossover episode. Joining me today is my work wife and my real wife, Jenny. How's it going, Jenny?
Yeah, good, thanks. Nice to see you.
So Jenny is basking in a Christmassy glow. Normally on a Friday, we do a roundup from Blockchain Gaming, blockchaingamer.biz, the website that we also run. So that's a B2B gaming website about blockchain games, obviously. And every Friday we do a sort of a roundup of the weekly news. So we thought we'd sort of combine the two. So this is part of Blockchain Gaming World, my podcast, where I normally interview people about blockchain games and the blockchain gamer biz. Well, too many blockchain gamers. The weekly roundup. So that's what we're sort of doing. The setup is we are going to be looking back at some of the events of 2023. You're going to sort of talk us through them, Jenny, in terms of the headlines, and then we'll sort of have a bit of a discussion. And some of the things we're sort of talking about in the headlines are sort of a building through. So I guess we'll hopefully sort of maybe highlight as well sort of some of the themes and projects throughout the year as we sort of get these sort of news points as they come up. Yeah, that's the sort of plan. So we'll see how it goes. Do you want to kick us off? I mean, I can't even remember January.
Yes. Okay, let's kick off instead. Starting in January. Right. I have this kind of top one here. I want to do this for every month, but it says John playing Axie Infinity Homeland. So was that really in January?
I think it had previously launched. I think it launched at the end of last year. I sort of noted down in the year sort of the games I was playing So that's the sort of normally it's sort of when they come live, but there have been a sort of a whole bunch of games. Actually, should say I just did one of my Substacks. So I have a Substack, gamestx.substack.com. So there's a daily Substack I write, which is paid, and you get a free weekly one as well. But I just done a roundup actually of all the games I played, looking at my YouTube channel and looking to see how many videos I did, which is sort of surprising.
It is, and that's why these recaps are really good, because you do forget, like, the Homeland thing, the added kind of features throughout the year that came a lot later, but there was an update in Homeland came later in the year. So anyway, so Yuga Labs announced in January their kind of playable experience Dookie Dash, and then throughout the year, that was quite anticipated what Yuga Labs was going, where they were sort of going with it, with the gaming. And then towards kind of later in the year, they announced that their gaming, I suppose, wasn't really the main focus. And they also got caught up in this kind of having to cut down significantly staff-wise, and which we will talk more about later. But that was sort of... that's the start of the year. And then there was also this big discussion about NFT royalties and creator royalties. And Limit Break then announced that ERC 71C standard for enforcing these royalties. And now later in the year, that again has kind of circled back with the big overworld mint that was, they actually used that standard. So even though NFTs are launching on like a platform like OpenSea, that standard makes sure that creators get their royalties. PlyLabs raised $32 million for Champions Ascension, and we announced from the big list that 19% of Web3 games were going multi-chain. And that was quite a change, I suppose, and which has then just been enforced throughout the year. So what of those sort of headlines would you say were the most significant for the start?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like a long time ago, doesn't it? Yeah. So I guess there's a few ones that are sort of, you know, I think were quite good trends for the year. So just to say, obviously, we're going to sort of cover quite a lot of funding news because that was a good news thing. So I guess with PlayLabs, that used to be Jam City, and they spun out Jam City and raised quite a lot of money for Champions Ascension. A game is sort of still actually, I mean, they sort of like, it's interesting, a lot of these games that are sort of well-funded from good teams really you know, and I guess at the start of the year they were hoping to get playables out this year, and there has been playable versions of Champions Ascension, and actually they've just started a Amazon Prime giveaway as well. But those games, I think they were slower in development than a lot of people thought, maybe the developers as well. So I think actually one of the sort of trends for the year is that there's a lot of big sort of games out there, but they didn't maybe hit the targets that they wanted. So I guess the year is sort of interesting, as it's ended up quite a positive year from just the last 2 months in terms of sentiment and stuff. But actually, the longer thing, for particularly for games, even though games are doing very well as an asset class sort of at the moment in terms of tokens and some NFTs, is actually a lot of these games, you know, are now 2024 games. So a lot of the games we sort of at the start of the year we looked at most anticipated for 2023 are not out. I mean, maybe bits of them are playable, or maybe Web 2 bits are playable on Steam or something like that. But these are very sort of complex games, and we haven't really seen, the best of most of these things yet. So I guess that's a bit, I should be looking back at last year and spending time looking forward. As you mentioned, Dookie Dash went live from Yuga Labs. Yuga Labs, you know, the Bored Ape people, they had a new CEO, and he said, we're not a gaming company per se, whatever you make of that. But I think they're rethinking a little bit what they can do and what they are. And particularly as you have a lot of these more traditional games companies coming into Web3, or people experienced in traditional gaming making traditional games on blockchain, Yuga Labs, maybe Advantage is not there. So they've had quite a year, really, Yuga, I think. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on sort of, you know, behind the scenes, maybe, but less headline making than we would have thought. And as you say, the ERC 721C standard that Limit Break announced, again, that's sort of very techie behind the scenes. It just means you can enforce royalties, which was a big problem for 2022. Magic Eden has now adopted that for Solana. A few other, as you said, Overworld is using it on, I think, mainly on their marketplace. But there are like dozens of games now using that. And again, that will be something for 2024. That people will be, royalties will now be enforceable on chain. It comes with some other interesting stuff, as in sort of companies can set the minimum price that their NFTs are resold at, which may put some noses out of joint in terms of sort of decentralization and all that sort of stuff. So that'll be an interesting one to look forward to in 2024 to see how that sort of plays out.
Yeah, for sure. Right, moving on to February. Kratos raised 20 million for India Web3 Gaming, and this is sort of, I have to admit, this is before I started editing the blockchain game at Opus website, so I wasn't so much in the game of what the big sort of headlines during January and February. So you have to fill us in a little bit there, John.
Well, I did actually have a look. There wasn't, it just seems like February wasn't a lot going on. So,
yeah, you know, maybe everyone's sort of recovering from the shock of FTX and SBF gate.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to remember now. It was, you know, the start of last year was pretty still in that sort of brutal phase, you know. I mean, ETH had risen a little bit, sort of. So it wasn't as bad as sort of January, but people very much were sort of, you know, what's sort of going on here? So there just wasn't a lot going on. India, so as you say, sort of Kratos, which is some Indian sort of gaming entrepreneurs raised a bunch of money, and they bought IndieGG, which is one of the sort of sub DAOs there, and we're going to building that out. India is a little bit, people are talking about it now. So Sandbox make a big thing this week about how they're going to build in India and all that sort of stuff. People, I get a bit nervous that people tend to do that with India because it's just a very big population, sort of developing quite fast, obviously English speaking. It's a very, you know, my limited knowledge of it makes me realise that it's a very, I think, a difficult market to engage with, and still monetization wise quite, you know, it's hard to monetize.
Kind of halfway through the year, I did sort of a summary. I went through and to see which sort of prominent games were there, and there weren't all that many. There's some cricket game seems to be a big thing.
Yes, there. No, that's right. Yeah, that game, Gamify mobile app on Scale Network has done very well this year, but it's not a very deep, so it's hyper casual sort of experience. So I think India again, maybe it's one for 2024, but yeah. Let's leave February behind. Nothing happened.
Yeah, moving to March. John's playing Hunters on Chain. Yes. So Hunters on Chain, did they soft launch around that time?
Yeah, they were on testnet before, I think. So I think they had been a bit before then. But Hunters on Chain, the game, I mean, I know those guys quite well.
They've had an eventful year. So talk us through a little bit what's gone on with that game throughout the year and how you've been getting on with it.
Yeah. As I say, I do consulting with them. It's a game that was originally a Web 2 game that they bring into Web 3. And they've gone through the whole process of doing NFT mint and allowing people to play on the testnet version of Polygon as it was, and adding features to the testnet version, and then going live on the mainnet, and then adding those features in. And so they've done it in a very controlled manner, I think, a very thoughtful manner, through a difficult year for blockchain games. But they've launched their NFT. They've launched various sorts of NFTs. They've launched two tokens. They've done it in a very sort of I think you have to be very careful with tokens, and we'll maybe talk to that a bit as the year's gone on, maybe how people haven't been so much, but they've done that. It's very functional. They've really tried to say, we're making a great game, we think people enjoy this game, and they'll be able to earn stuff off the back of it, but this is not a game where you're gonna like 1000x. I mean, in some ways it is a play-to-earn game. In some ways, they could position it as a play-to-earn game, but they're not. They're sort of looking at the long term. So it's definitely. I just really enjoy it. I think there's lots of good features in there. So
definitely more sort of intentional.
Yeah, no, intentional is the right. That's a good word. Yeah.
Good. And the big headline, I suppose, that month was that CCCP announced a $40 million funding round for integrating blockchain features into the EVE online game. So that was sort of the first Web 2 studio this year to announce that they were venturing into Web 3. Mockaverse launched, so they'd announced at the end of 2022 that they were, and Mocha Brands announced it at the end of 2022, but that's when the mint took place. It's like the flagship membership NFT collection. And again, that was just a start, because that's how the eventful year and grown in significance in the Web3 industry, you'd have to say. Symbio Genesis was announced, Square Enix sort of narrative-driven NFT / game project. MapleStory Universe. Oh, yeah, so Nexon also announced that month that they were developing MapleStory Universe, which... it's sort of a creator platform, UGC. So, I mean, it's a lot of things, isn't it? It's a game, as many Web3 projects seem to be. We'll dive into that probably a little bit more later. Immutable and Polygon then announced their CKEVM rollup, and Ronin announced that they were going to welcome the first third-party games onto the Ronin network. So actually quite a few big headlines that month, really. It wasn't just
I mean, I think partly that's because of GDC. So some of that stuff was announced at GDC, the big games conference in the US. CCP announcing the funding, in a sense, wasn't necessarily a surprise because the CEO, Haima, is really into blockchain and had been to a lot of blockchain games conferences. So in a sense, it wasn't a great surprise. And EVE is quite an on-chain, has many features to an on-chain game, and it's sort of almost operated in some respects like an on-chain game, even though it's not. So I mean, that's great for the industry. We haven't really seen. I think they did their first playtest actually a couple of weeks ago, but very, very early for that game. And then we have, as you say, Square Enix announced a game, which is just went live yesterday, I think. Quite an odd game, I can never get it right. Symbi Genesis, and MapleStory announced from Nexon. So big companies out of South Korea. South Korea has been a big trend this year. Pretty much all the big South Korean games companies are doing blockchain to a larger or lesser extent. Still early stages for those. There's not really been any sort of massive successes, but they're all, I think they're all quite committed to building out on it and it being a multi-year sort of experience. What else we got? Mockaverse, which is an NFT, is a sort of community collection. It's sort of quite difficult to quantify. So it's Animoca Brand sort of allowing its many companies that it's invested in to sort of have some sort of layer, community layer around that. Been very successful as an NFT mint. I think it's up over 3 ETH now. those NFTs. You can sort of stake them and earn points and sort of do missions in various games and earn points. And I guess the where we currently are, as we discussed in one of our videos, will there be a token based off the back of that? I've no idea. Some people seem to think there will be. They've raised like $32-35 million to sort of build it out. So it's quite a substantial project. So again, one for 2024, I guess, to see exactly how they managed to sort of pin that down. And then two other sort of announcements in March, sort of built throughout the year. So Ronin announced its first games that were going to go live that weren't Axie. Actually, none of those games are actually live yet. The first ones they announced are sort of ironic, given what's happened later in the year.
The Machine Wild Arena went into the closed beta, open beta earlier.
Yeah, there was a version of it. There is a version of it from the Epic Store, but I don't think it's got the blockchain in there. So I'm not quite sure. But yeah, they know.
Opening the door to more launches that came sort of later in the year with Wild Forest, and then obviously the chain migrations, Pixels and Apeiron, or however you say it.
Yeah, and obviously again another big trend for the year has been that Ronin blockchain, positioning itself as the king of gaming chains, which we sort of laugh about. But you know, it has. I think they have proven success during the year. So that was the start of that, and also I guess a similar thing, Immutable and Polygon sort of burying the hatchet and not competing against each other. So basically, Polygon pulled out of all biz dev for blockchain games and let Immutable handle all that sort of stuff. And then Immutable is going to be running its new infrastructure on basically Polygon's zero knowledge EVM technology, which is going live sort of as we speak. I think Gods Unchained would be the first one to go on live on that. So that was, I guess it seemed bigger at the time, and it's taken longer. I think it was one of those announcements where they announce it, where there's, they know there's going to be a lot of dev work still to happen. Mm. So it was interesting, I suppose, that Ronin announced something and that's come quicker into the market space. And now I think clearly you sort of have, how directly competitive they are, I don't know. But you obviously have sort of Ronin as a positioning itself as a gaming blockchain. You have Immutable positioning itself as a gaming blockchain. You have a few others, Beam and blah, blah, blah. Actually quite a lot now. But
on that note, sort of earlier in the year, we did do one of these big updates that we've done on the big blockchain game list. And what came out then is like Polygon is top. Polygon just keeps adding all these new games. And then because of maybe the partnership with Immutable and other external forces, obviously, Polygon has not really been sort of advancing their gaming side of things there, but other tech and other announcements more. So that's kind of an interesting development that was not really expected to sort of earlier in the year, really. Moving on to April, we've got John playing Mojo Melee from Mystic Moose. I've been playing as well quite a bit this year. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about that game?
Yeah, Mojo Melee, browser-based auto chess game from US developer Mystic Moose, who I'm very friendly with. So shout out to Mike from Mystic Moose. So it's an auto chess game, as I say. It's on its third season now, so it has battle passes. They've a bit like Hunters, they've been quite considered in what they're doing. They have NFTs been out for a while now, and they're now allowing you to actually mint tokens. So if you level up your in-game characters, you can mint them out onto the. They're using Polygon, using the Sequence Wallet. So that's happening. There's no gate in-game token yet. But they're sort of they're also on Amazon Prime. Trying to think of all the different things here. So you can earn and actually get NFTs for free by Amazon if you're an Amazon Prime member and create a game account. There's actually, I think, four or so now. They have these little Mojo characters that you can now start to customize with little sort of outfits and stuff, which is something they're looking to build on in the future as those Mojo characters sort of become a not necessarily like a PFP like a Pudgy Penguins, but you know that you can see that's sort
definitely of aspect. A highlight of the game, I'd have to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's what, yeah, yeah, the game is a, you know, say an auto chess game. I don't think they're doing anything particularly innovative from a sort of gameplay point of view, but the characters are good and they're sort of the allowing you to own stuff and upgrade stuff, and they've got their own marketplace now, and you can see all their sort of features coming in. So
Well, I think the sort of big irrelevant thing here with those little studios that we're mentioning, because obviously there were quite a few bigger studios announcing big things this year, but it's encouraging that despite such a difficult year, and we know plenty of studios have had to give up their blockchain intentions, or they've completely given up gaming development in general, is that looking at like things like Boomland and Mystic Moose, they've kept on building, kept on delivering, not maybe always been on time or on target as when they had expected, but they've not had to give up. They've kept on building. That's very encouraging looking ahead where these games can now sort of go in a better sort of financial climate and when sentiment is changing. So that's kind of why I think it's relevant to give these little studios kind of credit as well. Further on in April, we had Krafton investing $37 million into Migaloo, the over there UGC platform. So another fairly big investment. Mythical Games raised $20 million from Skytale for they migrated into Polkadot from Ethereum, if I remember right. And this was kind of part of a bigger investment that was announced only later of $37 million. So this was sort of a pre-announcement to that one. And as we know with Mythical Games, they then ended up having probably the most successfully launched Web3 game on mobile this year, which is NFL Rivals. They also announced they were kind of putting Blanco's PC version on the shelf, and they were going to instead work towards a mobile release of Blanco's in 2024. They also had the launch of Nitro Nation World Tour this year. Ultra launched their PC distribution store, and Goal, Goals is the name of the Swedish Web3 gaming studio, which is not Web3 anymore. They raised $20 million for their game Goals. I just need to get that right. But as I say, they've now announced that they're not doing blockchain anymore. And the Saga phone launched, which I suppose at the time when it was launched, it was a little bit underwhelming. But now it's proving to be quite a good investment if you got it back then. Yeah. So, right, what happened that month that was exciting to you, John?
Yeah,
significant.
You've done quite a good overview yourself there. So Krafton, again, another big South Korean games company. It's investing its own money, I think, with another South Korean company into what is now called Overdare. It's not live yet, UGC platform. So we'll see how that pans out. But again, that just follows this very big investments from South Korean companies in this space. Mythical Games, we're going to talk a bit about some of their game launches. Spent a lot of time during the year, as ever, talking about Mythical Games. I don't always agree with what they do, but they're very experienced, they're well-financed, well-capitalized, they make good games. They know what they're doing, basically, so they're definitely one to watch. Ultra, which is sort of Steam on blockchain, launched. Again, that's a big infrastructure play. It's been a pretty slow burn from them. They just only now announced their first NFT, or what do you call it, tokenized game, so you can buy the game and resell the game, but still quite experimental. A big sort of lots of moving parts for that, but they've been building steadily. So I put Goals in because it was a big funding round, and there's a few games that were doing Web3 blockchain and then decided not to, and they're sort of maybe a sort of prime example. And it's sort of funny because often it's sort of some people have announced it sort of just maybe a few weeks before the sort of market's totally changed. Often you get this awful thing where people, I've had enough now. It's been so terrible for so long. And then literally a week later, everything changes. Yeah, I feel sorry for them. It's not funny. But anyway, I mean, maybe it'll be a better product without blockchain. I can never really work out exactly where the blockchain was in there, to be totally honest.
They've always said, though, they're mainly like esports centered, aren't they? Because the CEO of the studio is an esports.
I just wonder how, I mean, from an investor point of view, sort of like, you know, if you've invested, presumably the investors have invested in these projects because they believe in blockchain and they believe in the power of people owning stuff, and that's going to be a big marketing push, and that's going to make people play longer and play more and spend more money in the game. And suddenly the person you've given $20 million to just goes, oh, we're not doing that stuff anymore. I mean, it's sort of like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've not had that experience.
They won't in the future ever integrate NFTs and let kind of play as own, I suppose. But.
And then Saga Phone, that was sort of funny because I actually bought the original one at the original price at $1,000. And as a phone, it's actually not a bad device. It's a bit heavy, a bit clunky. I didn't use it as my main phone. I sort of messed around with it and did some, you know, it was some interesting stuff on there because it's basically the web Solana stuff is fully embedded into that. So you have a hardware sort of wallet built into the phone. So it's sort of quite good from that point of view. And they have their own app store. So people are creating apps specifically for, you know, to integrate into Solana. So not having to deal with it. App Store regulations from Epic and Google, from Apple and Google. But as I say, that's until the end of the year, basically very few people were doing it. I think they, as has sort of come out with some of the, you know, interesting stuff going on with Solana at the moment, you know, obviously the tokens going up and lots of meme coins and all this sort of stuff going on, that it sort of came out that they made 25,000 of these phones. And they'd only sold 3,500. Or, no, not even sold that. They'd only 3,500 had the NFT, the Genesis NFT for the phone minted, which obviously they would have given away a whole bunch of phones to developers. So probably there were, you know, I was one of 1,000 or something buying these phones for $1,000. They did drop the price to $600, and now they've sold out because you could get an allocation of the bonk token. And at one point that was worth about $900. I've got $900 a bonk. It's not worth it anymore, but people were buying the phone to get the bonk airdrop. So yes,
good,
amusing.
Did you sort of try any of the games on it, as opposed more relevant for our sort of listeners?
I've tried a few. So there is actually one on a site play called Honeyland, which is sort of actually quite an interesting game. And supposedly, if you played it on the Saga phone, you were supposed to get 50 of their tokens. But I haven't worked out how to do that yet. So I don't think there's many games that have integrated specifically for the Saga phone because it's just not a big enough user base. But maybe now they've sold out this allocation and, you know, it just needed. I mean, and this is sort of a broader point. This is sort of... it's funny, yeah. A bonk coin. What is it? It's a meme coin. What does it mean? But sometimes you need. That's what crypto can give you. That sort of just that community coming together. Maybe it's just for money. Maybe it's just for laughs. But then suddenly you have something there that you didn't have before, and that's sort of, yeah, for better or worse, that's what crypto gives you. That sort of virality. And then it's a little bit up for the developers who have that virality. What do we do with it now? And actually, I mean to bonk because it's called bonk. But if you, the bonk app, there is an app on the phone, which is how you get the airdrop. And there is that bonk app is actually one of the best blockchain apps that I've seen. I mean, that really does use the phone.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really good. They have their own sort of decks in there. They have their own. There are games that you can do special things in using the bonk token. Not a vast amount, but it is its own proper ecosystem. It's, you know, calling it a meme coin is actually sort of incorrect. I mean, they've launched as a meme coin, and whether their tokenomics work as a meme coin with all the burn backs and all that sort of stuff, probably not. But it is a proper. They are proper developers behind that. And so they've got the virality with the meme stuff, but maybe they're actually positioning themselves a little bit wrong as being a meme project because, like Doge, there's nothing there. I mean, Doge is a joke, but a very expensive. You know, very.
Until Elon Musk announces
that it's going to be
Twitter. No. Okay. But Saga, I mean, not Saga. So Solana is sort of one project again that sort of took a little bit of an unexpected turn throughout the year, really, considering where they were a year ago, just right following the FTX sort of issue. And to see then the turnaround sort of towards the end of the year, the last quarter of 2023, and we sort of got a little bit of an indication when you interviewed the Star Atlas.
Yeah.
What's Michael, he called? Yeah. And he just was, he 100% believed still in the project, in the chain, everything, and yep. proven to some extent to be right, isn't he? With
yep.
a lot of the industry sort of given up on Star Atlas by that stage. So we sort of spoke to our blockchain mavens on Blockchain Gamer. And some of them were sort of writing off that project, really. It's done a remarkable recovery. Yep. Aurori, we've seen, one of the other sort of flagship mm-hmm. games on Solana, it's now gone cross-chain and also deployed on Arbitrum. Mm-hmm. But equally, you know, one of the games that's kept on. So kudos to Solana and their community. They have a very strong community backing them, it seems, and just great tech development. And so, yeah, it's moving to May. And here we go. Here's the soft launch of NFL Rivals. And you've also been playing Block Lords, one of your sort of highlight games of the yep. year that you've enjoyed. So tell us a bit more about those.
Yeah, so NFL Rivals, a mobile game. Interesting in that it was one of the first games to get official approval through Apple and Google App Stores. So they laid out rules for NFT blockchain games, what you could do. And NFL Rivals was sort of the first sort of big game to sort of successfully do that. So in that case, they can do sort of a bit of blockchain stuff, but not very much in the game. Most of the blockchain stuff happens on you know, web interface. So it's sort of, it's still not what companies would want to be the case, but it's sort of where you are at the moment with Apple and Google. So you have to play by their rules. As a project, has it been massively successful? I mean, it's on 4 million downloads, which is reasonable. You know, obviously they may have spent marketing money to get that. I think there's been some, I don't think there's been a knockout success, but I think there's some idea that people who are buying the NFTs are sort of playing longer. You can buy NFTs in the game directly with a special sort of currency that uses Apple Pay and Google Pay. So it's sort of the best of both worlds, I suppose, from one viewpoint. Done $2 million worth of NFT trading, so that's more on the website for the hardcore people. But a lot of people playing that game won't know they're NFTs, and I guess that's Mythical's sort of view, is don't care about the tech. People.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah. You know, we spoke to John Linden a few months back for an interview for Blockchain Gaming Office, and he kind of stated that quite clearly, that our intention has never been to be like a really deep blockchain game with NFL Rivals. It has been a little bit testing the app stores, the guidelines, and to in a responsible sort of slow way build this sort of trust with the app stores and see what we can do with it. So there's for sure more to come from Mythical Games. That's probably going to be more deeper blockchain integration, but NFL Rivals has never been promised to be that sort of project.
And Block Lords, very different PC, big PC strategy game. Again, had its first open community, it's a community beta, then it's in an open beta now, but loads more features still to go. They got their first sort of big season pass starting in January next year. Going to have a token live. NFTs have been live for a while, but not really well used in the game. Again, that game will be in open access, in early access for a year at least. Again, another one to I think, you know, one of the better teams building a, you know, a big substantial project using blockchain. You know, quite crucially for its long term goals.
Yeah. So Axie Infinity Origins also launched on the App Store that month, and Stepin integrated Apple Pay into their marketplace. So quite sort of things that we've forgotten now, maybe, but that will definitely go down as sort of groundbreaking moves for the Web3, significant for the sort of Web3 gaming industry, really. Mecha Fight Club, oh yeah, they've announced that they were pausing their Web3 venture then. And Grapes, which you have been following quite eagerly, yes, since they minted in May as well. So do you want to talk more about that, or should we move on?
It's very quickly, we need to go, but it can take us forever to get them not halfway through the year, but anyway. So Axie Infinity went live. Axie Infinity didn't really do very much this year, to be brutally honest, even though it went through app stores. You know, again, app stores is a sort of key thing this year that people have experimented with. not been massive success so far, but you know, we could see that in 2024. Just point out, Steppen was the first game to allow you to buy NFTs using Apple Pay, so kudos to them, I suppose. Mecha Fight Club, a game on Solana, basically pivoted to AI, which we saw, you know, was quite a theme during the year. Lots of blockchain projects deciding that blockchain wasn't going to be what they wanted to do. Mecha Fight Club was actually interesting because they gave everyone their money back. I think you got 18 soul back for an NFT that you bought, which actually, if you'd kept that, has worked out quite well for you.
Yeah.
Sort of funny. I don't know if they would wish they'd kept going or not. Now, given where soul is, I'm not sure. We'll see. I mean, to be fair, they did say they were pausing it, so maybe they can unpause it again. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Grapes, we'll talk about a bit more about later. So let's head into June and try and get the first half of the night done. I'll try to go a bit faster.
After half an hour in, we might be able to stick to an hour if we speed up a little bit. Right. Illuvian raised $10 million from Framework, and Framework has just been in the headlines recently for also. Yeah. Announcing a partnership with Merit Circle, which has been one of the sort of shooting stars this year, a bit unexpectedly, I would say. But Axie Homeland Land Delegation was also announced. Hyperplay raised $12 million and Champions. Oh, yes. Yeah, so this was sort of the big news towards the end of June, is that Ubisoft announced that they were working on a Web3 title, Champions Tactics Grimoria Chronicles. But actually, it wasn't like a big announcement. They didn't send out a press release or anything. Right. So this, I was actually going to say, this is my most memorable moment of the year, is when you realized from a little, almost like in brackets, from a little press release from Oasis during like the Japanese blockchain Oasis during the Japanese blockchain gaming week, I think it was, they had a little side event, and they in that post announced that they were going to the Ubisoft was deploying their game on their chain, and that was sort of the news, and you just, hang on, Ubisoft, what? And you quickly wrote it up, and so that was a funny sort of
wasn't it Friday night or something? It was weird timing. It was definitely an evening.
Something like that. So, yes. Something, at the end of June, when everyone's sort of summer mood, you know. No,
it was, good. Yeah, I do remember that. We were sort of looking at each other, going, trying to see if Ubisoft had announced anything, or and all there was a Twitter, wasn't there? They created the Twitter for Champions.
Basically, no one else had written it up by that stage either, so it was funny. Yeah. They did have a Twitter, but we thought, is this actually something,
if it's a scam or not, or whether Oasis have got the wrong end of the stick or something, or, you know, is this a serious game, or is it a bit of an experiment? But yeah, so it was a good one. I think Champions Tactics is actually going. Just did their mint, so their Warlords mint was last week. Good timing for them. So that's like the PFP collection, and that will allow you to mint 5 of the characters required for the game. Still not very sure about what the game's going to be. I assume it's like a PC turn-based sort of tactics, squad tactics game. I quite like the look of it. I don't think it's mass market. You say it's running on the Oasis blockchain out of Japan, which is, I think, a little bit of an odd choice, but there we go. We'll see. I'll be playing it. I've got Warlord as well. So it's all quite committed to playing that, seeing how it goes. I know it's not a massive thing for Ubisoft, but it's another good sort of temp peg that proper blockchain games companies. Obviously, Ubisoft has been in blockchain for a while, but not released a proper product. So this will be good from that sort of sector point of view, and maybe people can play it and go, well, it's not a terrible game. It's not trying to steal money off me, or it could all these things help, I think, in terms of positioning. So
moving into July, there's still some significant investments by this stage. Exterior raised $15 million from Binance. Mighty Action Heroes were announcing an integration with Treasure DAO, and that they were also deploying cross-chain to go on Arbitrum from Polygon. Are they on Polygon? The investments general with three gaming during the first half of the year was down 85% compared to the previous year, and this was also the month that Star Atlas ATMA studio they announced that they had to cut back about 73%, I think it was, of staff, and radically sort of change the vision for the company and all. But as we said, Radically is still strongly believing in the project when a lot of people did not. And I suppose towards the end of this month, Apple and Google announced their updated guidelines, TNCs, on blockchain games. And that was seen as quite a significant change for blockchain games that had not been sure whether they would go mobile or not. And obviously being able to distribute on mobile was quite good news for a lot of studios.
Yeah, so again, some sort of thematic stuff within those headlines. So investment massively down over the first half of the year and massively down overall. I don't know, that radar seemed to be on a mission to try and pretend it's not gone down a lot. I don't quite know why. They seem to be running all the numbers up and trying to prove to everyone that funding's not gone down. I mean, at the moment, I think we were over 8 billion last year. I mean, mainly in the first half of 2022. This year, we're like 1.5 billion. So, yeah, it is down pretty significantly. Even if the 2022 figures were maybe a bit inflated, when I've gone back and look at my figures, you maybe got a bit carried away, and some things we put into investment into the sector probably shouldn't have been included in
that. One of the advantages you have, John, in your sort of role as working closely with some of these studios as well, developers, is that you know from sort of the inside what's going on, and they've been telling you about their struggles this year and about the sentiment. So almost no matter what the figures kind of say, if they point upwards but everything else is pointing downwards, it sort of speaks louder sometimes.
And I just don't think it has been about sentiment. It has been about other sectors. You know, AI clearly has been a massive thing for investors and some game investors. Actually, probably seen as less significant now than maybe we thought during the year when, you know, there's not been massive game AI deals happening. It's more like AI has been integrated into lots of products. But this year's just been really hard. It's VCs are sort of sitting on money, or they've been putting money into companies they've already invested in who are running out of money and needed to refinance and can't refinance. So it's just been a very slow year. To be fair, there have been some VCs. I mean, we mentioned Framework and some other ones who have been quite active in the year. Bitcraft, again, always fairly active. So there, it's not like there's nothing there, but it's been nothing like previous years. What else? Yeah, so Star Atlas cut down massively. They're under, like, I can't remember, is it 60 people now? But it's a Michael Wagner, very bullish, and he's been proven right. So well done to him. Moving stuff. So we mentioned there, Mighty Action Heroes moved from Polygon to TreasureDAO, and again, that's another theme. People going multi-chain, people moving chains, lots of people moving from Polygon to anything else. The rise of Immutable, Ronin, Beam. We sort of mentioned in passing. So that's Merit Circle's L1 that was originally going on Avalanche and is now going also on Immutable. Quite how these things all add up, who knows? But definitely lots of migration of games. I think that's all I have to say on that.
Moving into August, we had pretty much taken holiday by this stage. So the rest of the industry, there wasn't an awful lot of news, I don't think. So NFL Rivals launched their in-app NFT marketplace. Well, the in-app marketplace that enabled NFT purchases in-app.
Yeah.
Entronation announced a soft launch, and Rec League was announced. Anyways. Sort of mecha builder fighter, and Zynga announced Sugartown. So that was probably the most significant in a way that another sort of big Web 2 developer ventured into Web 3. Do you think how much do these announcements sort of affect the credibility of Web 3 gaming and blockchain gaming? Because that's been sort of a recurring theme throughout the year.
I don't think any of them singularly move the needle much. Zynga had set up a Web3 team. Matt Wolf was the leader there. I guess with Zynga, there was a feeling that because they got bought by Take-Two, that Take-Two might go, we're not interested in this, sort of kill it off. But that's not happened. So again, I think Zynga, Sugartown as a product is not going to, shake any boats or whatever that phrase is. It's a collection of existing sort of mini games, and you have to own an NFT, and you sort of stake the NFT, and then you get energy, and then you play the games, and you sort of almost like gamble the energy to see if you can complete the levels. So it's more like a hyper casual sort of platform, is how they're positioning it at the moment. And it's still in sort of closed beta. You have to have an NFT, and they geo-locked it and all lots of other weird things. It's on browser. So you know, that product is not going to, you know, it's not going to, be written about as an amazing product. But obviously they're learning, and they're getting feedback, and they're getting comfortable with blockchain. They don't have any tokens in that at the moment, just the NFTs, but obviously their legals have to get happy with selling NFTs and all that sort of stuff. So it's good from that point of view. And as I say, when you have, we're going through the year, and we've had Zynga announce something, Ubisoft announce something, all the big Korean companies have announced something, you know, it's getting to the stage now where actually there's, you know, there's not that many games companies, like traditional games companies, that aren't now sticking their fingers in. So obviously, you know, EA isn't, Activision Blizzard isn't, but actually, you know, quite a lot of the other ones, you know, are now doing something, and particularly...
It kind of makes me wonder that, you know, there's been quite a lot of talk this year from various prominent kind of experts in the field are saying, oh, we're just waiting for that sort of breakthrough title, that big boom title that's going to make it all go mainstream. And is that necessarily how it's going to work? Or is it maybe that these more established studios just launch a little bit here and there, and then we realize one day that there's actually more Web3 there than, and with mainstream adoption, that it, you know, it didn't happen with that one title, but it happened gradually until we sort of look back and see that it's gone through a massive change.
Yeah, I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I mean, I think for the big publicly owned companies that are on stock exchanges, you know, they all got very close in 2022 with Axie being a big hit, and then it was still, I think their legal teams felt this is still a bit Wild West. Obviously, Axie didn't sustain. There was a massive backlash from gamers, and it all went away. So maybe some teams who were built then are still working on product that haven't been announced. So it's partly for those big companies, you know, there definitely is a legal issues around it, and you know what the SEC is announcing, what the SEC is winning in terms of lawsuits will impact that clearly. If the SEC says these are securities, then a lot of this stuff maybe goes away for those big companies. But that's not really where the sentiment is at the moment. SEC generally is seen to have had a bad year. It's not really won anything. It's lost maybe on some minor cases, but lost, you know, fairly regularly on things, or at least not won on things. Obviously, sentiment in space is big. Gamers seem to now spending their time beating up on AI content. Don't care about blockchain anymore. So I think, you know, sentiment is from those big companies is in the right direction. And now, as we've been discussing throughout this podcast, yeah, you know, there are proper big games that people could play and go, "This is a good game." Whereas, you know, I would say some of those were there in the last wave, but clearly, I'm probably a bit biased on that, and a lot of those games were not very good. So.
Yeah, and I should mention that I've not actually had any headlines of that yet, but during this time, or a few months prior to August, there were this SEC kind of claim that the sandbox was securities, and it, you know, they ventured into that, but that was, it quickly sort of
Well, it's still part of their case against Coinbase. So the case against Coinbase is Coinbase has been selling securities, and some of the tokens mentioned were actually some of the ones doing really well now. Sol, Avalanche, Sandbox,
Axie. Yeah.
That case may be happening in 2024. Who knows?
Okay. Let's crack on then. September, Mocaverse raised an additional 20 million, Proof of Play raised 33 million, NFL Rivals they broke 1 million trading volume. Pixels announced they were going to Ronin. I think the launch actually happened, the actual migration happened in October, but it was announced towards the end of September. Rec League launched, Sugar Town minted, and Gala got themselves in a bit of a muddle and ended up with some lawsuits back and forth. Yeah. But and John plays Pirate Nation.
So Proof of Play raised was it 30 million? 33, I can't remember now. But anyway, a well established Silicon Valley team who've done a lot of games, actually part of Farmville at Zynga back in the day. Well experienced team making a fully on-chain game, raised a bunch of money to make those games. It's actually more of a sort of a platform, and they have to make a game to sort of build out that platform. So called Pirate Nation, fully on-chain on Arbitrum Nova. Been playing it quite a lot since then, every day. Again, it's not a game that's going to blow your socks off, but it's a game where you do certain things and you sort of earn these low-level resources, and then you can craft things, and you can sort of see how that's going to sort of play out when it's more fully featured. So that's good. As you say, Mockiverse raised, announced $20 million of funding. Again, you know, that's just been something that's been building throughout the year. That's good. Pixels we'll talk about more later. Rec League actually was sort of quite a big product that I got quite excited about and didn't really seem to go anywhere. It was maybe a bit early. They're still going. They're going to be a free-to-play mobile version that will, I guess, they'll try and kick off the marketing around it that time. But it was quite, so had some quite novel ideas in there, but maybe bad timing. And Gala, I'm not going to talk too much about Gala. Gala's funny. I mean, but basically, it turned out that the two founders of Gala are suing each other, and still seems to be ongoing. But a load of, as ever always happens in these lawsuits, loads of sort of dirty laundry comes out about how that company had been run. And it sort of, for me, I felt sort of vindicated in some of my thinking and even some of my writing about what I thought about Gala as a project, which is not to say there aren't some good games sort of there, but I think there's, yeah, I've always felt it was not a project I wanted to promote in any way and sort of experience. I did buy Gala stuff just to play the games and stuff, but I never felt very comfortable with that. And now I sort of, on the basis of this, see Gala very much as a gaming meme coin. Which is not to say that the price of these meme coins can go up quite a lot, and Gala's been very good at sort of managing that. But it was just, yeah, fascinating to see.
I suppose the largest sort of significance of the proof of play investment that month was that a lot of media and even developers and so the industry sort of enthusiasts started talking much more about on-chain games, fully on-chain games, and the CEO. Mitt Mahajan, he basically said then that Pirate Nation is not kind of supposed to be this finished game that is supposed to blow your socks off. It is more of an experiment where we're just trying out our tech and seeing how it works to have a live game out there with all the game logic and assets working on fully on chain. So it's definitely more to come from them as well, and definitely more to come from the sort of fully on chain space, which we have sort of towards the end of the year seen a sort of quite rapid growth in interest and buzz around. But let's move into October. You were done there, were you, on September? Yeah, good. Trying to wrap it up quickly. Forged raised $11 million. Neon Machine raised $20 million. There was a lot of investments in October. Neon and Animoca announced a $50 million deal, and Nitro Nation launched season one, and a big time token went live that month. So I suppose all these investments happening sort of early in that month was just a sort of sign of the sort of sentiment changing a little bit, and start of the last quarter of the year. So talk us through it, please.
Yep. Forge, as I said, some investors were still active. Actually Bitcraft, who led that round, had actually invested in Forge before, but Forge, we hadn't seen as much of this as maybe I thought. I think just because it was a sort of a bit of a bad year, but Forge is sort of like a sort of gamified platform, game discovery platform, sort of social platform around blockchain games. Very experienced sort of a management team around it. My feeling is there's quite a lot of projects trying to do similar things. It's not very clear how you get market differentiation in that sort of space. And my sort of also feeling is the biggest blockchain games will sort of just do their own marketing, and no one, I think blockchain games are a bit different in the sense you don't want to play 20 blockchain games. You sort of want to play, and in general, most people don't play 20 games. They have the game they're playing and maybe a couple of games that they sort of dip into, continue to dip into. So I wonder about the discovery mechanic there, but I guess we'll see more of that in 2024, these sort of ideas of building up community again, and sort of the YGGs and the guilds and all that sort of stuff will, I think, obviously that's sort of secondary to there being a booming market in gaming, which we hope happens. Yeah, we'll talk a bit about, so Neo Machine is the company behind Shrapnel. They raised 20 million. We'll talk a bit more about them in November, so I'll leave that one for the time being. Nitro Nations, yeah, again, that's one we're looking at from Mythical Games. That's one for 2024, really. It's still in almost like a soft launch, really, isn't it? And Big Time is not a game we've mentioned at all, but it's been in development for a long time. It's a proper blockchain project. It's, I think, quite good. Definitely differentiated in terms of art style and gameplay style, sort of co-op RPG battler. It's not live for everyone yet. I think they still need a key to play it. Again, one to look for 2024. But their token went live and has performed quite well. Shrapnel token went live, I think, a bit earlier than that and has done quite well as well. So definitely, those are projects that at least the sort of the DGens are investing into.
And I think it was end of October when Pixels announced that they had successfully migrated to Ronin from Polygon. And coming in as sort of the biggest game that had been on Polygon, the expectations were quite high. But I don't think actually anyone expected it to be quite a success as it was going on Ronin and sort of integrating with the Axie community and perhaps obviously a lot of other players then also going to Ronin. We've seen this sort of massive increase in wallets, active wallets on the Ronin. So it wasn't just Axie players also starting playing Ronin. It was that game moving also moved a lot of players into the Ronin ecosystem. So I suppose that's actually starts off our November headlines. And then Nine Chronicles M launched on mobile and PC. And then towards the end of the month, we had a Shrapnel lawsuit. But let's talk about your favorite game of the year, Nine Chronicles M and Pixels a bit more first.
So Nine Chronicles M is a idle RPG from South Korean developer Planetarium. It's actually... The original version of it has been live for a number of years, playing on PC. I always felt it was going to be much better as a mobile game because of the sort of mechanics, and they launched it on mobile in the end of November. I've really got into it. It's not a game for everyone. It's sort of quite old school in the sense that it's an idle RPG, so you're not really doing very much. You're sort of doing stuff and waiting to get resources and level up, and then try and beat dungeons again, and you're sort of then failing and then having to upgrade stuff. I just really like it. It's got NFTs that you can stake and get some other tokens and create these pets, and it's all on chain, so you can sort of sell these things in the marketplace and blah blah blah. It's not for everybody. It's almost like a bit of an old-fashioned blockchain game, actually. It's like some of the ones I played in, as I say, it came out in 2021, I think, originally. So it's interesting to see that they have done a mobile version, and they did say, they said 115,000, am I thinking? Over 100,000 players across the two versions of the game they got now. So it's not nothing, but equally, it runs on its own blockchain as well, which also causes complexities about your private keys, which, it's probably something that they need to think about if they're going to go proper mass market. But I really like it. So that's enough for me. And again, as you say, during November, obviously October, November was the start of crypto sentiment getting a lot better. So Bitcoin prices going up, we're starting to see some of the meme coins coming in, starting to see things like Beam, Merit Circle's token just do phenomenally well. It's 1,000x during that period of time. And then Pixels came in as a sort of social RPG game, smashed into Ronin. Ronin was nothing really happening on Ronin at that point. And then they're over 100,000 daily active unique wallets. People seem to really like Pixels. They seem to be like a really cool team. We hadn't written about them, I don't think, at all. We hadn't noticed them. I had never played it before, although I had heard of it. They seem to have really come to the fore, the right place, right time for that. In terms of the blockchain, in terms of the product, in terms of the Luke, the CEO behind it, seems very balanced, very good on Twitter, how he's dealing with the challenges of scaling. Again, is that going to be a million wallet a day game? Probably a bit niche, but it really has a good community, and they're building well, so good for them. Another lawsuit, Shrapnel. Again, another weird news cycle that someone sort of tipped me off that this lawsuit was happening, because obviously you have to make lawsuits public. It's sort of like, like a shareholder lawsuit about, I won't go into all the details, but it's sort of a, was an interesting evening writing that up. But we do have Shrapnel as well. I guess that's the thing. Shrapnel is one of the most anticipated blockchain games. It is a very highly experienced team putting together a very high end, Unreal Engine 5 PC shooter, extraction shooter. Some interesting blockchain stuff in the background around modding and building levels and all this sort of stuff. So they've pushed their early access into 2024, but we saw people very much looking forward to that.
So this has been kind of one of the most anticipated games we thought would launch at least early access at the end of 2023, but it's now looking to be sort of more early 2024 because the team wanted a Christmas break. They said on Twitter.
Why not?
Anyway, that yeah, exactly. Why not? this month. No, so this would be December. And just going back to sort of the numbers regarding pixels, because we've been tracking both on Blockchain Gamer.biz and in your Substack, you've been looking at sort of the most popular blockchain gaming games by daily active user wallets, and pixels ended up as the most popular game at.
Yeah,
I think it was December, the December update, but that was based on November's numbers. So
that's true.
There you go. Moving into December, Jenny playing My Neighbor Alice. Yes, so me and actually my two sons, and now also my daughter, we're all kind of getting into it. We ventured into Lumalunda Archipelago, and this is like a multiplayer farming game. So brilliant to get your children into. Basic sort of farming loops, but just really, really beautiful sort of scenery. Good UI, everything. Yeah, it's still in alpha season 4, so it is early, and sort of there are times when you feel like this is quite an early game, not a full launch yet, but definitely one to watch, I think, coming into 2024.
Yep.
Excited to play some more, and I think my son is actually prepared to do another video because he has moved up a tier, so he can now craft his tier 2 tools, and he wants to show YouTube how to do that, so keep your eyes out for that. In other news in December, then, Mockiverse raised 12 million. I think it's now a total of 88 million or something for Mockiverse. Line raised a rather significant sum of 140 million for Game Dosi, which is like a Web3 game platform that is launching towards the start of 2024. Nexon announced 100 million for what we previously mentioned, the MapleStory universe, which is sort of a complex of different experiences. Bonk Airdrop, Warlords Mint, and Overworld Mint. Which one do you want to talk about, John?
So let's just quickly then. So we started the year with these big South Korean companies announcing product. We end the year with these big South Korean companies announcing a ton of money. Often they're not sort of raising it from VCs, they're raising it from some more institutional investors or raising it from themselves. So Line, 140 million, massive for this Dosi gaming channel, social channel, a whole bunch of cool stuff. They're launching the mobile app next year. They've raised that from a private equity fund in China, in South Korea. Nexon has raised 100 million sort of internally for this MapleStory universe, which again is a PC game, a mobile game, a sort of user-generated world content, an SDK for developers. Again, the Koreans are really seeing we're taking web, sort of these web 2 social platforms, you know, where they've been, people have been chatting and having like little multiverses and having, you know, avatars and selling bank stickers. They're taking that all to the blockchain, you know, whether it works or not, you know, it's complicated, but they're making big bets on that. So that's all, it's all good to see. So a whole bunch of stuff about minting. I think we have to say crypto is now in a bull market. It is now proper up. $1.6 trillion, obviously still down from its last peak, but its sentiment is very strong across macro. Sentiment is very strong outside of blockchain. Institutions are really into crypto. They expect the ETFs in America to be announced in January. And so we start to see a lot of sort of frothiness, particularly in the game sector, which is in some ways not nice to see because, you know, you sort of get more sort of scams and bad sort of investments, that sort of stuff. But in a sense, it is what it is. And we've seen, you know, people doing some big mints. So Overworld is a game. I don't know very much about the game, but they minted out their NFTs and they're like two, three ETH now. Let's say Ubisoft's Warlords sort of minted out grapes, actually, we've not really mentioned, probably won't go into too much there, but you know, in some ways, grapes is the blockchain gaming project of the year. That they, you know, they've done these NFTs from, you know, pretty much a free mint up to 3 ETH now, and they've just launched their token, which is like $240 million, fully diluted value, and basically it's a collection of sort of, you know, quite sort of casual games. There's a whole bunch on mobile. They're doing a Roblox game. They're doing a Fortnite game, and you know, it, in some ways, it's sort of what blockchain allows you to do that you couldn't have done before. So it's quite fascinating how they've created that value. I think there's some things they've done that I personally, if I was running the project, wouldn't have done. But we'll see how it all sort of pans out. But so I guess, you know, we end the year in a much better place than we started it, and we shouldn't be, I guess, complaining because we wouldn't want another year. We wouldn't want to end the year like how we started the year. And if we believe in blockchain games, which we do, you know, we do think that they make more interesting games that couldn't be made before. You know, they're much more engaging with community. I think they're a good thing, but that's also, I guess, a little warning that they do allow you to do some bad things as well, like any technology. And when people just are out there chasing financial reward, then obviously you end up making decisions, bad decisions, in the long run. So I guess a warning sign amongst the confidence and seasonal greetings and joy.
yeah. Right, excellent. So I suppose I'm used to closing off and finishing us off, because I'm normally the one who does it, but your podcast, John, so okay. You should do it.
Okay.
And I also want to give some seasonal greetings Lego friend.
this is Jenny's Vitalik that she made a while back, and I loved it so much I've kept it. And now she's looking for Christmas hat.
Doing her a bit of
Christmassy. So, yes, thank you very much, Jenny, for your time and talking through the year.
Yeah, no worries.
And thank you to you for watching, listening to the podcast, however you are consuming it. Sorry this one went on a bit, but we are having a bit of Christmas fun. So every episode I'm talking to the people who are building out the blockchain gaming world. I think it's fascinating, and already got some penciled in for January. So we're going to be starting the year on track. Really good stuff. Hopefully we're going to be doing some more podcasts even than we did this year. So plenty to subscribe for, plenty to look out for. But Merry Christmas, and see you next year.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And thank you, John, for having me on. Bye-bye.